Kurt Vendel, 1966 to 2020. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I met Kurt Vendel during the production of the BBS documentary. At that point, I was reaching out in every direction for people who knew every aspect of the BBS story, including the machines that adults and kids used to connect to BBSs. Kurt reached out to me and said he would love to talk about everything involving Atari, phone phreaking, and bulletin boards that he liked. As it turned out, he lived just one town over from where I used to live in New York, so I made it a point of stopping by when I had a chance, about 2003. Kurt had a beautiful home, and in the basement, he had some Atari stuff. And I'm understating by a mile the amount of Atari stuff that he had. He had an Atari demonstration setup. He had robots, he had cartridges and machinery, and he was truly excited about it all. He was one of the interviews where I asked a few questions, but the fact is, he drove things all by himself. He talked about bulletin boards and phone phreaking, and he talked a lot about why he liked Atari. After the interview, I kind of looked at some of what he had, and it was incredible how much stuff he had there. There were machines that I only saw in ads or sitting at Crazy Eddie's, never to be touched by me. And Kurt had them right there for me to look at. Thus began years and years of Kurt and I communicating. Kurt loved Atari. I can't come close to capturing how much he loved Atari. When he was a teenager, he came up with a very interesting idea on learning more about this wonderful company making these beautiful machines and beautiful video games. He tracked down the official phone numbers for Atari, and he accurately assumed that the actual extensions of people working in those buildings would increment from the official number. So he just started calling number after number after number. In doing so, he started to interact with actual Atari employees at a time when the address for many Atari buildings was a well-kept trade secret. He built up relationships with employees and workers both in engineering and just in general office operations. One of the things that he discovered was that there was an Atari store where prototypes and development gear would be dropped off and sold to whoever wanted it. Well, Kurt wanted it, and this was how he started acquiring a really unique Atari collection. Over the decades that followed, Atari and Kurt lived side by side. He learned everything he could about this company. He acquired items. He copied documentation. He dove through dumpsters. He talked to everyone he could find. And in doing so, he amassed a legendary amount of knowledge about Atari. Unsurpassed. And it just grew and grew. See, it's not completely unusual for people to be fans of a brand, to like a certain product, a drink, something they're sold a lot of or were given as a kid, something complimentary their office had and they got into the habit of it, maybe just simply buying something and then never switching somewhere else and keeping with your favorites. But Kurt truly loved Atari and was learning its ins, its outs, and as much of the actual backstory as he could find. Kurt enmeshed himself in a whole variety of projects that many people who consider themselves Atari fanatics may have interacted with and not known it was him. He adminned an Atari museum. He designed and engineered the Atari flashback consoles so that you could play retro Atari games on modern monitors using a relatively close analog of the hardware that came before. He was absolutely tireless in tracking down as much information as he could with his collaborator, Marty Goldberg, to produce a book that they wanted to be the be-all, end-all of Atari history, called Business is Fun. This book is still for sale, and I'm sure Kurt's family would appreciate people buying it. And that brings up something else about Kurt that I want people to know about. He was tenacious. He was dedicated in every way to tell the most accurate, the most exacting, and the most researched stories of Atari that he could find. Not the computer industry, not the story of the 8-bit revolution, not the general zeitgeist of technology in Silicon Valley, but Atari. This put him directly at odds with many of the same Atari figures that others would consider legends. Founders, co-founders, managers, who would, with the fuzz of years and years, claim that this date was important or that things happened this way or that. But Kurt and Marty often came up with different conclusions. It used to astound me that they would stand up to somebody who had helped invent the very thing that he loved so much and say to them, "I'm not buying your story. I want a little more history." Only Kay Savitz comes close to the amount of people associated with Atari that Kurt has talked to. Groundbreaking, inspiring, and very, very available. In a given month, Kurt would enmesh himself with a whole variety of people who were seeking information about Atari, either posting to forums, answering in social media, or conducting phone calls with friends, or just conducting long phone calls with people asking questions, wanting to get this little detail. Was it on this date or that date? Were things set this way or that? Were the documents and the plans out there? Could they be scanned? Could they find out a piece of information they needed? Would Kurt be able to verify? And he did. In 2019, he attended a vintage computer festival. Kurt was an exhibitor at a vintage computer festival with a 40th anniversary Atari display. And there's footage of him giving a full tour of his exhibit. It's an inspiring piece of video. 35 years into his love affair with Atari, he's as excited, passionate, and informative as he's ever been. Kurt had a wonderful New York accent, one that could pivot from delight to anger to happiness and right back again to delight within a few sentences. He cared about this subject, and it came out whenever he talked about it. We interacted on and off over the years. At the occasional festival or conference, I'd see him and we'd say hi and check on each other. Over the years, he hinted at health issues, but I didn't pry too much. We all have health issues, after all, in this business. We tend to do a lot of sitting. We don't get out as much as we could. But it means that I was surprised, yet also not, when word started to echo online and people were contacting me, telling me that Kurt was suddenly gone. Just gone. No lingering illness, no notes sent out to anybody. From all indications that I got online, he was working with a huge variety of people, having those phone calls and conversations he was so well known for, collaborating on projects and double-checking facts right up to the end. He was 53 years old. He leaves behind a wife and a child, and literally shipping containers, a museum's worth of a company that mattered to him his entire life. There aren't really lessons when you lose a friend like this, when you see somebody who was there and is suddenly gone. I don't know how one's supposed to derive knowledge or get a lesson. The only thing I can really dredge out of this tragedy is savor every moment that you have with someone you respect, because life shows you over and over that that can change. In 2013, the Internet Archive started to emulate a whole variety of home consoles, including the Atari 2600, 5200, and 7800. About a week or two after we announced it, we got some very angry lawyer letters from Atari. I wasn't quite sure what to do, and I reached out to Kurt. Kurt said, "Let me see if I can help." And within a few days, it was Kurt, myself, and the Atari lawyer on the phone together, with Kurt playing an incredible diplomatic role between the two parties. When we started to talk past each other, Kurt jumped right in, negotiated, helped us get back on the path, and by the time we were done, a whole variety of Atari games that wouldn't have stayed online were going to stay online. Oh, sure, there were a bunch that we were going to have to take down, but Kurt helped me make clear to Atari what we were trying to do and how we were doing it. He stands solely and personally for all of our success with Atari emulation. I thanked him so many times after that, but I probably never thanked him enough for what he did. The last time I talked to Kurt was in 2020, and it was, of course, Atari-related. This company that owns the Atari trademark, a lot of people don't like to call it Atari, and frankly, it's not really Atari, was coming out with a new console, which really felt like a reskinned modern machine that would be able to play a few old Atari games. And delay after delay after controversy meant that it was still up in the air it would ever actually make an appearance. Kurt, in fact, told me of behind-the-scenes shenanigans that he was aware of and that he was keeping track of through everything. And he asked me if I would do him a favor. You see, he had taken a look at the design, the so-called groundbreaking design of the new Atari console, and he'd recreated it in a CAD program. He felt like being a little bit of a troublemaker, so he asked me if the Internet Archive could host them. I delightedly said yes, and within an hour, the Internet Archive was hosting what seemed to be a very closely aligned version of what some might call the Atari console design. That was the last time Kurt and I talked, but it's perfect. It captures exactly what it was like being with him. He was bullheaded. He was direct. He didn't trade in flowery language. He loved what he loved, and he let you know about it. And if he didn't like something, you wouldn't have to guess. It will absolutely be a case of people needing something, whether it's information or a part or a way to contact somebody, and they're going to say to themselves, "I wish Kurt was still here. He'd be able to get us in touch. He'd have got it done." There's only a handful of people out there who love something so much that they become inseparable from it. Kurt achieved that. His respect, his admiration for this company extended through his entire existence, and it served as a template for so many others to realize how deep and how real the love of a history could be. I have so much more to tell you about vintage computers and old technology, but the fact that I want to, that I feel that it's something that needs to be done, was, in many ways, inspired by Kurt. Goodbye, Kurt. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Wayne Arthurton, Scott Roseanne, Scott McGrady, Forrest Fuqua, Mark Pilgrim, James Bakoyanu, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt.